Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Tzadi Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we begin today's Shiur, 8 lines from the top of Daf Tzadites, you will notice that we have a diamond, and it's listed as number 3. We are, in fact, in the middle of a sugya that we started during our last year. We had mentioned that the standard or the quantity necessary for bittul in the case of a mixture of that which is allowed and that which is forbidden, you need to have either 100 times the allowed or 60 times the allowed substance to counter the presence of the forbidden substance. This idea was learned from the Zroa B'Shela. All of this we discussed during our last shiur. We had raised a problem from a Tanaic source which indicated that the Zroa B'Shela was a unique situation, and we had seen a Tanaic source that said, Zehu heter habo michlal iser, that this is unique in that here we can provide, in the case of the Zroa B'Shela, we can provide a leniency, but in general, we are stringent. If that be the case, so then how can we learn from Zroa B'Shela to other cases concerning mixtures? We have seen, till this point, two answers, whereby we deflect the source and say it refers to something else. It refers to something other than the idea of learning quantities required in mixtures to allow the mixture. Ravina is a third approach, likewise saying that the source of Zehu Heter Abla Mechlal Iser is referring to something else, other than the issue of numbers and ratios that we had learned from the Zroa B'Shela. So Ravina Omar Lo Nitzrucha Elo Lemokom Chatach. The source that says here in the case of Zroa B'Shela we are lenient, that is true with regard to the point of cutting. In other words, we have the ram offering, the shlomim offering that the nozir brings, as we discussed in our previous shiur. The Zroa B'Shela, the Zroa, the forearm is cut off and given to the Kohen. And as we mentioned last time, that is forbidden to be eaten by commoners. The Zroa B'Shela is a gift to the Kohanim, just like Truma is a gift to Kohanim, and it cannot be eaten by non-Kohanim. What about the point at which the arm of the animal was cut off? In other words, that very point of contact, that's called Mokom HaChatach, the point of contact that remains on the basic animal after the arm was removed. So in general, we say that Mokom HaChatach also is forbidden. In other words, you have to peel away another sliver of whatever when you have a situation of that which is permitted connected to that which is forbidden. You have to slice away another thin layer from that which is permitted in order to make things kosher. That's because it was the point of adhesion, the point of contact. The Gemara continues, De Omar, we say, Mokom Chatach Be'alma Oser, this point of contact in general between something that is forbidden, which is connected to something that is allowed, you have to slice away a little more from that which was allowed to ensure kashrus. V'hocha, in the case of the Zroa B'Shela Shari, when you cut off the leg, the foreleg of the animal and present it to Kohen, you don't have to cut off any more from the rest of the ram that's going to be eaten by the owner, by the non-Kohen. Yosef Ravdimi V'Ko'omar Lo L'Hosh Maitza. Rav Dimi was seated, and he said over the teaching of Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok from Daf Tzadi Ches Omid Aleph. There he said, "Kol Isurin Shebetorah b'me'ah," which means that if you have the presence of something forbidden in a mixture with things that are allowed, if you have 100 times the amount that is allowed to counter the one amount of Isser, then the Isser is voided, is considered neutralized, and hence the mixture is allowed. Omar Lei Abaye, and we have a marking scheme that you can see in the Gemara, and we under our Mivneh heading, you can see we feature this, we call it the volcano shape, and we refer to it as a ma'akav. This is an attempt to keep track of a give-and-take structure of Gemara. With the narrow part facing upwards, this represents a kasha, kushiot. We've labeled it under our Mivneh heading, and we have, when it's inverted, as you'll see at the top of Omid Beis, that represents an answer, tshuvot. Before reading the Gemara, let's also glance at the Nosei heading that we have as well in the outside margin. We have written under the Nosei, which is the topic heading, Kushya, we will be raising a question, Al HaNe'ma Li'el Ayyaderu Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, the Kol Isurin Shebetorah B'me'ah. We'll be questioning what he says, that all Isurin in the Torah can be neutralized if you've got 100 times the allowed substance. V'homashma me'a Mishnah b'Maseches Orla, we will see from a Mishnah in Maseches Orla, the Yesh Bittel B'Shishim. We will infer this point, it won't say it explicitly, but that there is voiding even if you have a lesser ratio, even if you have merely 60 times the allowed amount against the forbidden substance that's present in the mixture. So we now turn back to the Gemara, noticing the beginning of a long question. To the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a kuf that's encircled with a vertical descending dashed line. That indicates that from here till the end of this page, we will be developing the question. So Omar Le Abaye. Abaye asks, V'chol Isurin Shebetorah B'me'ah, is it really so that all mixtures wherein forbidden is present, you need to have 100 times the allowed to neutralize the forbidden? Is that really so? V'hotnan. We have the following source. You can see we have a frame around it. This is a source from Maseches Orla, and it takes up a significant amount of Gemara till the second to last line. Lema omru kol hamachametz umetabel umedabea lahachmir. Regarding what has it been said that if you have mechametz is fermenting, whereby you have, let us say, some dough that's made of chulin. Chulin is allowed food matter, allowed meaning ties have been removed. If you have some chulin and into it was placed some sourdough of truma, this sourdough causes the rest of the batter to rise. Metabel has to do with tavlinim. It's a case where you used spices of truma, let us say, to flavor some chulin food. Umedamea. Medamea is dimua. That's the mixing of truma, where truma that had been separated from some food falls back into the area, into that which was tithed already. So you have a mixture of truma with chulin. That's called dimua. And it says in the Mishnah, the Mishnah there is asking, under what circumstances do we say that we will rule stringently? That's lahachmir. When will we rule stringently in such mixtures? Min umino. That's if you have a like mixture. Meaning, let's take the case of the sourdough. Let's say you have dough made of wheat flour. Now the sourdough is wheat. Wheat sourdough. So wheat mixing with wheat is called min bemino. Lahokel ulahachmir. Under what circumstances do we say that we will have a possibility of both outcomes, an outcome of leniency as well as an outcome of stringency? Min v'she'eno mino. That's when you have a mixture of unlike substances. And some of these points will be explained as we go on in the source. The Katani Seifa, the latter part of this Mishnah says, L'hok l'achmir min u'she'eno mino ketzad. We mentioned that if you have a min u'she'eno mino, means a mixture of unlike substances, there can be rulings sometimes lenient, sometimes stringent. How is that? So, grisin shenizbashlu imadoshim. If you have different types of vegetation, one's called grisin, that's made of truma, that's cooked up with adoshim made of, that is from chulin. Im yesh bohem beno seintam, if there's a perceptible taste of the, let's say, the truma grisin in the adoshim. Bain yesh bohen lahalos b'me'al v'echod, bain ein bohen lahalos b'me'al v'echod osir. Whether you've got 101 times the chulin, whether you don't have 101 times the chulin, osir, this mixture is forbidden. What we are saying is that any time you have perceived taste of that which is forbidden, then the issue of quantity is of no significance. That is an example of lahachmir. We have an outcome of stringency. Now, ein bohem benosin tam, if you have a mixture of unlike substances, but there is no perceived taste of the forbidden substance, then we say we rule leniently. Bein shiesh bohem lahalos b'me'al v'echod, bein ein bohem lahalos b'me'al v'echod muter. Whether you have 101 times, or you don't have 101 times, it will be mutter. Now, focusing on this last example, we're saying that even if you lack the me'al v'echod, it still will be mutter. Okay, so you're lacking the me'al v'echod, but well, how much do you have? After all, you do have a mixture of forbidden with allowed, so don't you need a certain, we'll say, minimum amount of heter in order to constitute a cancellation? So the Gemara goes on and says, "Ein bohen lalos b'me'al v'echod elo b'mai." So if you're telling me you don't have 101 times of heter in this last situation, so what do you have? Elo b'mai lav b'shishim. Is it not that I have 60? So at this point we have the question. The question was originally Rav Shmuel bar Yisro told us in Daf Tzadi Ches that whenever you have an iser heter mixture, you need 100 times. You need 100 times the allowed substance. Here, we are inferring that if you have 60 times the allowed substance, it's also okay. The Gemara answers, and we turn to the top of Tzadi Tesamid Beis, and you can see we have an inverted volcano shape. This is an answer. It says, lo, b'me'a. You don't have 101, but you have 100. You have 100 times the allowed substance. The Gemara asks, and once again we encounter a long question, so you'll note the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dash line. The Gemara asks, V'ha midereisha b'me'a havi seifa b'shishin. From the fact that the reisha, which we haven't learned yet, the Reisha mentions this number of 100, so the Seifa must be dealing with a different number. The Seifa is that which we already read, that must be Shishim. And if we say that, so we are reinstating the question, as you can see from the markings indicating the structure. We're in fact reinstating the question. The Katani Reisha. And now the Gemara cites the Reisha, and it too is in a frame. And we will see in the Reisha a reference made to this 100 quantity. Lahachmir min umino ketzad. We said that in min umino mixtures we will rule stringently. How is that? What is an example of that? Se'or shochitim shenofal le'isas chitim. V'yesh bo kedei lechametz. If you have sourdough made of wheat flour that fell into a batter of wheat, batter of wheat dough, v'yesh bo kedei lechametz, and there is sufficient quantity in the sourdough that fell in. The sourdough, once again, we'll say, is truma, that falls into wheat dough made of hulin. And if there is a sufficient amount to cause it to rise, then bein yesh bo kedei lahalos b'mei aviyachod, bein ein bo kedei lahalos b'mei aviyachod, usur. Whether you've got 101 times the allowed amount or you don't, it will be usur. It will be forbidden. Ein bo lahalos b'mei aviyachod. Let us say it doesn't have 101 times the allowed substance. Then we say bein sheyesh bo kedei lechametz, bein ein bo kedei lechametz usur. Here it says if you don't have the required amount, you don't have 101 times, then even if it doesn't have the ability to cause it to rise, it still will be forbidden. We will infer, however, had there been me'al v'chad, had there been 101 times, if it doesn't enable, if the sourdough doesn't enable the batter to rise, it would be mutter. And the assumption is as follows. If there had been me'al v'chad, and that me'al v'chad we assume to mean including the iser, meaning you've got 100 times heter and one part iser, it would have been mutter if it would have been ein bo kedei lahachmitz. Now, you see, therefore, that the Reisha talks about a case of having me'al heter. So, since the Reisha is talking about a case of me'al heter, do you want to say that the Seifa, which we quoted on Omid Aleph, is also talking about me'al? Reisha v'Seifa b'me'al? Do you want to say both are talking about 100 times heter? Certainly not. We don't want to have the Reisha and Seifa speaking about or using the same amounts. After all, if the Reisha and Seifa are being taught as separate units, it must be that they have separate standards that apply to them. And if the Reisha, as we just read, indicates that me'al would have been sufficient, it must be that the Seifa, which was dealing with min b'she'eino mino, 60 would have been enough. And hence, we are reinstating our question on Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok's teaching. The Gemara answers, Loi, Reisha b'me'al v'chad, v'Seifa b'me'al. In fact, the Reisha and Seifa are two different standards, but neither one is suggesting 60. The Reisha, which spoke about min umino, requires 101 times heter besides the iser. That's 101 versus 1. The Seifa, which spoke about min b'she'en umino, this was the source we saw quoted on Omid Aleph at the bottom, that is, which as we said is min b'she'en umino, me'al would be enough. Me'al means 100 times heter versus the one part iser. So there is a difference between the Reisha and Seifa. It's a minor difference. However, it is not 60. And therefore, the teaching of Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchok can be defended. The Gemara now asks, V'chi yesh bo kedei lechametz b'me'al v'chad, amai lo botil. Now this question, in truth, is hard to present by merely translating the words. So we look at Rashi, and a few lines down from this point in the Rashi says, Uparchinon e reisha b'me'al v'chad, deheter ko'omar, if the reisha is in fact talking about 101 times heter, Amai Kotoni, why does it teach Yesh Bo Kedei Lechametz Afalpi Sheyesh Me'al Ve'echad Oser? The Reisha, which was the framed source we saw here at the top of our Omid, it said that if there is enough sourdough to cause it to rise, even if you have 101 times permissible material, it's still forbidden. Now, what's the question? Omi ika diyohiv taima kulehai? It's a practical question, meaning, is there something that is so potent that even if you have 101 times the amount of dough, heter dough, a permissible dough, to counter the sourdough, but the sourdough will, if it's capable of causing it to rise, and that's what we're describing, it's one part in verses 101 parts heter, it's able to cause it to rise, and the Gemara is asking, is there such a thing? Is there something so potent? Ishtik. So he remained silent. Amalei. So the questioner said back, Dilma shiny sor dechi mutzo koshe. Maybe sourdough is different than other cases of mixtures. Sourdough is different in that, in fact, it is very potent, in that it's, even if you have 101 times the amount of kosher dough, of acceptable dough, this very small part of mixed in of sourdough will cause it to rise. Amarlei, so upon hearing this response, he says, At karton milso dom Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chinina, you reminded me of something that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chinina said. Lo kol hashiurim shovin. Not all substances with regard to their ability to convey taste are the same. Some are more potent, some are less potent. Sharei tzir shiuro korov lemosayim. When it comes to tzir, which is fish brine, if you have fish brine that comes from a forbidden type fish, so you'll need to have almost 109, you'll meet almost 200 times the heter in order to cancel its potency. It's being perceived. The snan, the source, points this out. Dag tome tziro usser, an unkosher variety fish, the brine that the brine in which it's found is also forbidden. Reb Yuda Omer, revius besosayim. If you have a revius in two saw, now without getting into details of how to calculate each one of these amounts, suffice it to say that a revius besosayim is one part in 192 parts. So if you have one part seer of dag tome and 192 parts mutter material, the seer will create an isser. In other words, you need to have more than 192 parts heter in order to cancel the presence of the seer. The assumption in this last example was that when we spoke about one part of seer tome in almost 200 parts of heter substance, Reb Yehuda is saying that had you had more than 192 parts heter, so it would have been allowed. Now, what exactly was the mixture? It was a mixture of tzir tomei with tzir tahor, with brine coming from kosher variety fish. So Reb Yehuda is mentioning that there could have been bittul had you had almost 200 times the allowed a kosher fish brine. The Gemara asks, V'omar Rav Yehuda min v'mino lo batil, but hasn't Rav Yehuda already said that if you have two like substances, and that's the case here, if you have kosher fish brine and unkosher fish brine, those are two, they're both brine, and he said in a min v'mino mixture, lo batil, there is no voiding. And here we are suggesting, according to Rav Yehuda, there could be voiding. There could be a neutralizing of the prohibited substance. The Gemara answers, in general, you're right. As far as Reb Yehuda is concerned, there is no bittul when it comes to min b'mino. However, shiny tzir is different. Dezeo b'almahu. Literally, it means it's the mere sweat or exuding that comes from that which is prohibited. In other words, the tzir itself is a byproduct of something for prohibited. It's not an original prohibition. It's a byproduct of something. And as such, it's the mere, as the Gemara calls it, exusion, the zeo bi'alma. It's only that which exudes forth from the prohibited substance. Therefore, even Reb Yehuda, who is in general strict with min b'mino mixtures, when it comes to something that's like this, called only a residual substance, there could be a neutralizing, there could be bittul. In our Mishnah, we learned that a thigh that is cooked up with the gid in it, we are to view it as basar beliftos. Liftos is a type of vegetable. And in order to determine whether the thigh will be mutter, we have to do the following. We have to imagine the thigh meat in which the gid was found as if it were that a same amount were liftos vegetables. And the gid, we have to imagine in our mind's eye as if it was meat. That amount of meat cooked up with that amount of liftos. And then we would say, if that amount of meat would impart a meaty taste into the liftos, so then this case of the thigh with its gid in it would be osur. Amar Rav Huna, kibosar b'roshei liftos. Rav Huna points out that the Mishnah, when it mentions kiliftos, it means the top of this lefis plant. Apparently, this plant had different sections of it. The top part had a certain, as Rashi says, was a sweeter part of the plant than the tail of the plant. So Rav Huna is being more specific and says that the calculation is made based on that amount of thigh being viewed as roshei liftos. Masnisin delo kahai tana. Our Mishnah, which suggests that if you can identify the gid, nevertheless, and you know, identify it and then throw it out, nevertheless, the thing that was cooked together with the gid will be usur, because the gid may have imparted a taste to the pot in which it was cooked, to the pot meaning the other food in the pot. This approach that the gid conveys taste is masnisin delo kahaitana. Our Mishnah is not in conformity to the following Tanaic source. Disanya, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Benosha, Rabbi Yochanan, Broka, Omer. Rabbi Shmuel says, Ein beginin benosei tam. The gid is not capable of conveying taste. It's like a piece of wood. And therefore, if you have a gid in a mixture with other things and you recognize the gid, you just throw out the gid and the rest of the food will be mutter, because the gid does not impart a taste. Ahud also lekame de Rabbi Chanina. There was a case of some pot of food into which there fell a gid, and they were able to recognize the gid that fell in. Have Yosef Rav Yehuda bar Zavina Abava. So at the time that someone came in to Rav Chanina to ask his question about the food cooked together with the gid, Rav Yehuda bar Zavina was sitting at the doorway. Namely, he was sitting outside where the room in which Rav Chanina was taking questions. Kinofak, when the person came out after having asked his question, Omale, so Rav Yehuda bar Zavina says, My Omar Loch, what did Rabbi Chanina say to you? Omale, so the man said, Sharia ni ale. He issued a ruling of permission, of allowance. In other words, since the gid was visible, Rabbi Chanina basically said, throw out the gid and the rest of the food is mutter, expressing no concern over the supposed taste that the gid may have imparted. Omale, hodar aile lekame. So if Yehuda bar Zvina said, you better go back in and point out that, well, didn't the gid impart a taste? Omar, so when the man went back in, so Rav Chanina said, Man hai de kometzair li, who is this one, referring to Yehuda, who is this one that's causing me pain? Zil emole leman de yosef abova, you go back. This is Rav Chanina telling the man that came to ask him a question. Says, you go back and tell the guy sitting at the doorway, Ein begidin benosein tam. There's a rule that says, gidim do not impart taste. And therefore, there's no reason for me to be strict in my ruling. Ki osu lekamei Rabbi Ami. When cases like the above came to Rabbi Ami, Mishade lukame de Rav Yitzchok ben Cholov, de Mori ba letera mishumra de Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Ami would send the case, he wouldn't answer, and rather he would send the case over to Rav Yitzchok, who rules like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, who is of the opinion that ain't begidin benos Saint Tam. Velei lo svirolei, but Rabbi Ami himself does not rule like that. He is strict. He is choshesh for tam of the gid. And as Rashi points out, only because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi rules otherwise, so he, Rav Ami, didn't want to issue a formal prohibition. But on the other hand, since he himself doesn't hold from the leniency, he didn't want to deal with the case. Therefore, he sent it to Rav Yitzchok, where, in fact, there would be a lenient ruling. The Hilchasa ain't beginning b'no Saint Tam, and the Gemara itself rules like that, like Rabbi Shuban Levi, that ain begidin b'no Saint Tam. The Gidin do not project a taste into the other food in which they're cooked. Let us look at the Rashi toward the end of the page, three lines from the bottom. The Hilchasa ain begidin b'no Saint Tam, ubein is bashel, bein nimlach, bein nitzle, whether the gid was cooked, salted, or roasted together with other meat. Mashlicho, you can throw out the gid, providing you recognize it. Umutter, and the meat in which that was prepared together with it is allowed. Vedafka bo, this whole leniency is when we're talking about the gid itself. Avol shmonoi, there is a fat, a type of film or fatty substance that surrounds the gid. That yesh bo b'no Saint Tam, that does project a taste. V'im lo notal shmono oser. And if you didn't remove this fat that surrounds the gid, so that substance would create a kashrus problem. So if you didn't remove it, it will create iser. Gid hanoshe shinez bashel. The Mishnah made reference to a case of the gid hanoshe, which is a forbidden nerve, was cooked up with other gidin, other nerves that are mutter. So our Mishnah had ruled in such a case on daf tzadi vav amid beis. It said the Mishnah said bizman shemakiro benositam v'imlav kulan asurin. If you don't recognize it, then the whole mixture is usur, even though you have many more gidin of permissibility. Nevertheless, the whole mixture is forbidden. The Gemara asks, the liftol beruba, let's say you don't recognize the gid, so let it be batel in the majority. So to this the Gemara answers, beriyah shiny, at the very, very top of kufa med aleph, the first two words, beriyah shiny, means an entire entity. The gid that we spoke about was an entire gid anoshe that was found in this pot with other gidin, but since it's a beriyah, a complete entity that is prohibited, there is no bittul. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.